Hazard and Dominic Steele here, and thanks for joining us. And today we're thinking about family systems theory in Christian ministry, how to avoid burnout, and how conflict in ministry can contribute to burnout and how not to go down that path. We're going to be joined in a moment by Jenny Brown and Craig Foster. But before we get to them, just to let you know what's coming up on the Pastor's Heart. Over the next 3 weeks, we have, well, three Englishmen coming to talk to us. We have Richard Cokin from the Co-Mission Churches in London, Matthew Sleeman from Oak Hill Theological College in London, and also Ed Shaw from the from Living Out in the UK. He's going to be here in Australia to talk for Liberty Christian Ministries. And so he's going to be joining us as well over the next couple of weeks. We appreciate your assistance in getting the word out on the Pastor's Heart. We're looking for your help here. You could share it on Facebook. You could let your colleagues, your friends in ministry know about this program. If you'd like to subscribe to the audio podcast, that'd be great. If you're on the Apple device, you could go to bit.ly/thepastorsapple. If you're using an Android, it's bit.ly/thepastorsandroid. Or if you want to subscribe to us on YouTube, it's bit.ly/thepastorsyoutube. We'd love it if we're a listener, a viewer-supported program. There are three or four people who work on this, and the other three of them get paid. And so if you'd like to help out with that, you could go to bit.ly/thepastorspatreon and become a monthly subscriber or a monthly supporter of the Pastor's Heart ministry. Now, Craig Foster and Jenny Brown are with me. Thanks very much for coming in, Jenny and Craig. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Craig is on the ministry team at Norwest Anglican.
Yep.
And Jenny, well, your name has been synonymous with family systems theory for as long as I've been paying attention. And executive director of the Family Systems Institute and director of the Family Systems Practice in Sydney. And you're both presenting at a conference at Moore Theological College in Newtown today. And so it's a big day for you, and we're really grateful that you've squeezed us in before then. Craig, I wonder if we could start with you. How did you, I mean, we're on the Pastor's Heart. Mm. How did you initially become interested in this whole subject of ministry burnout and exhaustion?
Long story, but in short, back in 2008, I was in ministry. I just left Moore College a couple of years earlier, and out into ministry, excited, looking forward to teaching God's word and seeing God do great things. And then a couple of years into ministry, things were not quite going as well as I'd hoped. I was not achieving as much as I thought I would, or had great expectations and hopes for. Success, I guess, but things in ministry did not look quite how I'd hoped they'd look. And so at that time, I kind of thought the problems are ministry, I'm not suited for ministry. But then I kind of stepped back and had a look at all the other things going on in my life at that time, and it was a really difficult period for me. We just had our fourth child. I didn't feel like I was doing a particularly good job as a dad. Marriage was at a particularly low point. My wife and I, when we did have time together, we would just talk about ministry problems and issues. I'd just been through a really difficult time with my parents in our relationship, probably the most difficult time we'd been through. So there were all these kind of things going on in my world at the time, and I just began to find things in ministry very difficult, and I began to dread Sundays. So I just kind of began to get very exhausted by things that previously would not have exhausted me. And I hit a point one morning where my wife and I had a big argument, and I thought, that's it, I'm out of ministry. I'm not prepared to put my family and my marriage at risk because of this. So at that time, I laid the blame completely at the door of ministry. So that was my kind of experience, and then I had some time off, a couple of weeks off stress leave after that, and I started getting some family systems coaching following that, which I found incredibly helpful for thinking through things a bit differently.
Mm. Mm. Well, I'm looking forward to your diagnosis in a moment, Jenny, but what happened next?
Yeah, well, then I began. My boss at the time, a great guy, said, I think you should go and get some counselling, and recommended the Family Systems Institute. So I started going along to the Family Systems Institute and got some coaching over the next 6 months, and just found it really helpful to step back and just see all the unhelpful relationship patterns that were going on in my life, and just how I placed too much focus on success in work, and I got my sense of identity and self-worth through that. And as I kind of focused too much on work, I noticed that I did draw back from a lot of relationships, withdraw and distance, as I was so focused on work. So that was causing a lot of my relationship problems, as I distanced from my wife, from my kids, from even from God. So all these important relationships and resources, I was kind of pulling myself back as I was kind of overly investing in my work to kind of steady myself, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing, Jenny, you're going to say that Craig is textbook. Is that right? Or?
Sure. The thing about family systems theory, while it misses some very important things that the Bible tells mm-hmm. us, it misses the concept of sin, which mm-hmm. is huge in mm-hmm. understanding mm-hmm. our challenges and our difficulties and the brokenness of the world. But what it captures is predictable patterns when relationships are under stress. And there are a small number of them that Dr. Bowen pointed out, and Craig described all of them just then. The distancing, even conflict as a stress pattern, underfunctioning, overfunctioning, and triangling. And that's it in a nutshell. And when you can identify these patterns, you can reflect and observe, see your part in them, and start to, in a more informed way, change your part in the interactions, both at home and in ministry.
Okay, you just mentioned a series of things that are key pillars of family systems theory, but I'm sure there are people listening, watching to us who aren't familiar with that. One of them, let's start with distancing.
Well, distancing, we can all recognize it, but it is, as Bowen pointed out from his research, the fastest way to relieve stress. Mm-hmm. is to avoid. Mm-hmm. So we all do doses of it, and a little bit of distancing to reduce stress is a good thing for survival. But mm-hmm. when it becomes a predictable pattern to cope, of course, the ramifications for relationships are huge. You mm-hmm. disconnect from people. And one of the most important ways to avoid a growing sense of exhaustion in ministry, work, and family is to stay connected, mm-hmm. even when it's tough. But distancing, it relieves stress, but too much of it actually contributes to a sense of isolation, and that's a key contributor to burnout in any relationship system.
Okay, so would you say that you were doing lots of distancing in all your relationships at the time, or most of them, Craig?
Not all of them, but I noticed particularly with my family of origin, mm-hmm. Where I come from, I noticed that when I'm under particularly stressful times, I do distance from them, which is kind of interesting to explore, a little bit from my kids as well. Mm-hmm. And other sort of important relationships, but those two kind of are often dominant. And as I focus on my work, those other important relationships I kind of withdraw from, just because I'm investing so much in my work that I haven't got much left, and I pull back from those relationships. A little bit from my wife emotionally, but to also have the habit of downloading a little bit more mm-hmm. And kind of talking about church issues or church problems. So that was a real issue. Triangling, that's it.
well, give us the definition of triangling.
Well,
it's when I've got a problem with you, yeah, I go and tell you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And again, all of these patterns, triangling, distancing, over, under functioning, they reduce our experience of stress. Mm. So we predictably use them over and over again. And triangling is everywhere. It's where there's a tension or an mm-hmm. issue in one relationship, and rather than keep it worked on there, we vent to a third party. Mm-hmm. Or we detour as two people working together, let's say in ministry, we're working on something together, we're feeling challenged in the relationship, and then we focus on a member of our ministry team we're worried about, mm-hmm. and we divert from working on our relationship to worrying about that third party, making a project out of rescuing them. And that's another form of how issues escape from the relationships they belong in to be detoured, either venting, gossiping, or making a project out of a third party. And it does reduce the tension in the two-person relationship to divert to a third. But you can appreciate the problems because things never get resolved in the original relationship or never get worked on, and people lose real contact with each other, which is essential for flourishing relationships.
Mm-hmm. And then you had an over-functioning, under-functioning line, I think, before as well.
You want to speak to that one, Craig?
Yeah, I think, like, I'll naturally, and like a lot of ministers, over-function in work as different demands crop up. So a tendency to start doing for things for others that they could do for themselves. So that's something that will often happen. And under-functioning in other areas of my life, some responsibilities maybe at home I might sort of start to neglect as I kind of, if I over-function in one area, there's going to be an under-functioning in another area. And often for me that is sometimes in home responsibilities, which is a good sign that I'm perhaps kind of being too focused on work at the expense of those things.
So 2008, you kind of first got exposed to these ideas. How has life changed and developed since then? And you're involved in consulting staff teams as well to help them, ministry staff teams, to help them get it better.
I think mainly through lots of self-experience and going through these difficulties. I think back in 2008, I learnt all these patterns from Bowen theory that have been really helpful. So although since I've had other challenges, obviously, in ministry over the last 14 years since then, but different stresses, but those patterns, those natural patterns that I have, unhealthy patterns of relating, tend to be pretty much the same. And so I guess that's what's been helpful for me, to understand myself better. I think this is what I naturally do in those times, and so I can look out for those and just keep trying to work on those and being more mature in how I respond in stressful times, growing godliness in these areas. So I think it's been a really helpful tool for me, and I'm finding others in ministry are finding it a very helpful tool. The ministry team where I'm at Norwest find it very helpful as well. We're often talking about family systems and different patterns going on in relationships, which has been really helpful for just dealing with complex relationship situations in a staff team or in pastoral issues, where we can just kind of be a little bit more objective about what's going on at the time, and step back, and we do use the language of over-functioning and under-functioning and triangling, which I think is quite a helpful, objective, non-emotional language that gets us all just to kind of reflect on who's doing what at different times.
Can you give us an example? It might not be from your staff team. It could be from one of the teams that you consult, but just how that, how having that language helps you to diagnose a problem in our staff team.
Yeah, I can think of numerous examples over the last few weeks, but there's always examples. One was where someone in the staff team talked to someone else and said that such and such has said to them, there's an emergency, you need to have an emergency meeting. And so all of a sudden that got passed on to the person that reports to me, and they mentioned this emergency meeting, and then I kind of passed it on to the other pastors, there's this emergency meeting happening. So this kind of triangling just kept getting pushed around, and there was great stress in the whole staff team about this emergency meeting happening with someone. And then when we kind of went back and found out what was actually happening, it was not very emergency-like. It was not very significant. And so really I should have just stopped it there and said, what is this emergency meeting? And so should the other person. And so these things, just little things, all of a sudden, because we just don't deal with our stress as well, and we just kind of... So triangles, that's always happening. So we can...
Like a wildfire.
It's like a wild... Yeah. So that's helpful.
When the team gets under stress, what should I do? Jenny.
Well,
because it's fine when there's no stress.
Yeah. I mean, the stress is part of life, isn't it? And part of relationships. And I think the research is showing that most burnout, for example, mission returns, are predominantly team conflict rather than issues of actual cross-cultural ministry and mission, which is very sad, isn't it? So it's an important area to appreciate that stress in relationships will always happen. We're different. We bring our different patterns from our families to our workplace. So if you're in a team, ministry team, you see the stress happening, what I've learned from Bowen theory is to start looking at yourself, mm-hmm. not trying to fix the rest of the team. That actually makes it worse. Mm-hmm. Just get a focus back on what's my part in the interactions.
I was sharing with you before we started that I first read a book on Bowen theory when we were having a really hard time as a team in 2010. And my initial response was to want to read the book with the rest of the team. And you said, don't do that.
Not when stress is high. Because think everyone's walking on eggshells. There's a sensitivity to threat, relational threat. There's a sensitivity to feeling blamed. And indeed, there's a lot of blaming that mm-hmm. happens naturally, sadly, when we're stressed. We look at the problem being in others, not in ourselves. So if you recommend a program during a time of stress, everyone will perceive it as you're pointing the finger at them and you think they need to change. Mm-hmm. And they're all looking at you as the leader.
You need to change.
Indeed. So the starting point when stress is high is to work prayerfully, humbly on changing self mm-hmm. in the interactions. But that doesn't mean you do it in isolation, because when you're working on being a calmer self in your relationships with your team, that's contagious. Mm-hmm. The calm starts spreading. People begin to be more thoughtful. They see that you're addressing your part, mm-hmm. such as you're working to be a better listener with everyone. You're not distancing as much, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. You're keeping in good contact with people. Your communication is open. And the whole system starts to calm down. Mm. And that's when people get interested in what ideas are part of this change in our team leader.
Mm. Mm. How did you start to do that in your ministry life, Craig?
I think one of the things, I think it might have been Murray Bowen said, trying to be the calmest person in the room, which I always find a really helpful thing when emotions are high, trying to think, how can I be thoughtful and objective here rather than emotional? I think that's always helpful to kind of think through. But in our team, I found it helpful just kind of understanding my own patterns, my own sort of relationship patterns of distancing and over-functioning, but then trying to understand others as well.
How did that work? How did you do that?
I did that in a number of places, but there was one particular place where I was finding it very difficult in terms of relationships. There are a number of relationship stresses going on. And I was in a position a little bit lower down the hierarchy, so it was hard for me to really have much impact on change. And so I found that hard, but what helped me was actually trying to understand more about those who are above me in senior positions and their relationship patterns. So a little bit of investigative exploratory work, just trying to understand who they were and their patterns and their families. And as I did that, it actually gave me more empathy for them and understood why they did their predictable patterns and their history of that. And so that was a really helpful thing for me, just kind of understanding more about them.
So you understood more about them, but were you able to see, I mean, and obviously you changed your own behaviour.
Yeah.
But were you able to see change in their behaviour?
If I responded in a mature way, in a kind of thoughtful way rather than emotional way, I could see that, you know, as I did that, they would respond in a similar way. So I had if I worked hard on myself in presenting myself clearly and what was important to me and my goals and my principles, I think there was a respect for that rather than an emotional response of kind of being annoyed or blaming or things mm-hmm. like that. So I could see it. It didn't necessarily change them, but I think it just helped the relationship improve.
Now, as well as being on the pastoral team at Norwest, you're doing some consulting with your organisation, helping pastoral teams deal with conflict or burnout, or what's the nature of the consulting you're doing?
It's been primarily one-to-one with senior pastors of churches,
right.
So going through stressful situations themselves, and we'll have some kind of Skype conversation often, or we'll meet up personally, just talking through the issues that they're going through. And I think just to be able to have someone else that's stepped back from the situation and help them think about the different patterns and who's doing what and when's it happening and how, has been really helpful for
them.
How
they can be the calmest person in the room.
Yeah, that's right. And think, be thoughtful about what they're doing and the decisions they're making. So that's, that's been the one-to-one work. And within teams, thinking about, I think for a team to have an understanding of each other's patterns is really helpful. And so kind of a little bit like the Myers-Briggs stuff, where there's learning more about each other and how they tick. This is a little bit how their patterns are under stress. And that's really invaluable. And some people from the team will want to go and do a bit more work and work on their own family systems and their own families, but not many are prepared to kind of go that next step. But,
I mean, you talked before, Jenny, about Bowen theory not really accounting for sin and the biblical worldview there. Do you want to just talk about how you have thought through those issues together?
Well, it's such a responsibility as a professional in the mental health and counselling world, where there are some helpful secular theories and scientific discoveries, but how to make sure that every thought is being taken captive under the gospel, under the word of God. And certainly for me, I look at Bowen theory, which has been, like Craig, enormously helpful in my own life. And I continue to work on it in my own life and relationships. It's never just about helping others. But it does, it explains the problems that people have mostly through anxiety. Anxiety in relationships is what triggers these patterns, and people lose their capacity to function under the pressure of anxiety transmitting in relationships. So think about what the Bible would say. It would say, yes, there's brokenness, there's anxiety from relationships out of sync with our Creator God, and there's sin. So it wouldn't discount the anxiety from broken relationships over the generations, but it's always playing out. And so you wouldn't want to meet with Christian people and just look at their relationship patterns without reflecting humbly as Christian brother or sister around, how can I see my own selfishness at work here? And sometimes that sinful, rebellious selfishness is hidden. So like the overhelpfulness, I'm programmed to rush in and soothe people when they're distressed. Part of that's my God-given temperament. Part of it is my family system pattern of how I secure myself by people needing me to help them. Now, that's an anxious pattern, but there's sin in there I've discovered as well, because I'm using, without realizing it, it's not deliberate, but it's still sin, because I'm serving myself. I've discovered that through looking at how I feel better about me when people appreciate my helpfulness. And that's something I've got to repent of, as well as work on in my relationship pattern.
So, Craig, a senior minister comes to see you and describes conflict in their team, and I guess some of them, like you, would have been would be thinking of walking away from ministry at that point. Do you know what happens then? How do you handle that conversation?
Yeah, I think it's most helpful to think of particular situations and that are going on, particular conflict situations, and just really kind of step back and look at those situations of who's doing what in those situations, how are they doing it, when are they doing it. And I think as you explore that together, you can start to see the patterns. You see your patterns of unhealthy relationships, whether it's trying to overfunction or kind of distance from conflict. And as they have that self-awareness, they start to see it for themselves, and also what the other person is, other people are contributing to that. then I think as they start to get that self-awareness, then they're able to kind of think, okay, this is a helpful way forward. So I think just looking at those situations is the first step. And then always, I guess, because it's Bowen theory, we're trying to go to that next step and get them to sort of think about how they saw that operating in themselves as they were growing up in their own families, because these patterns are usually being programmed or kind of patterned over a long period of time. And I think that's where they can make the most progress, according to Bowen theory, as they're working on their understanding how they were patterned as they grew up and actually going back into their family of origin and trying to work on being, not falling into those unhelpful patterns that they might have in their own kind of family of origins. And not many are prepared to go to that next step.
So talk to me more about that next step. Yeah, what does it look like to do that?
I think it looks like going back into your... I think when we go back to our families, we'll often just go back into natural patterns that we always exhibited when we were younger.
Not washing the dishes when
you're in your parents' house. Different people kind of triggering you about different things. And so it's kind of going back and not falling into those patterns, thinking, okay, how can I not operate in those predictive ways and to be a calm, thoughtful self rather than reacting emotionally in those situations. And that's hard because it's hard working on the families that we've come from, and most people balk at that step, at trying to work on the difficult relationships that we might have with our families.
So how do I begin that? Yeah,
I think it's trying to understand what those patterns are. Firstly, if there might be a kind of real distance situation. So for me, for example, if there's distance that I will naturally have in times of stress in my family, I need to ensure that I'm connecting with them and going back and work on just connecting with them and having a healthy kind of connection with them. And then when I'm with them, not sort of reacting to things that I might have reacted to when I was growing up, certain expectations or whatever, and just learning to kind of be a self in those situations rather than kind of automatically getting upset or reacting. So,
can I throw in?
Yeah, of course.
One thing that's different about Bowen family systems theory is it's not asking why too often. Mm. Not why do I behave this way? And then you look for a cause. Oh, because my mother didn't show me enough love would be a typical. Mm-hmm. And it's really going away from those whys where we tend to point the finger and blame. And it's a research approach where you start drawing your family diagram and just looking at what was the family up against over my growing up years? What can I identify was the pattern in my parents' marriage? How did I react to my mother and my father, the first and most powerful triangle that we're in. And so I hope you can get that sense, Dominic, as Craig's talking and we're chatting, that it's not looking for causes which just leave you thinking, well, what do I do with that except feel angry at my parents? This is much more about learning with compassion about self in relationships growing up so that we can bring that awareness into our own life and relationships without a sense of victimhood, which often comes out of family of origin work in other psychological theories.
And so you're presenting today to try and alleviate burnout. Yeah, that's the clue. In a nutshell, what's the message?
Well, our workshop today that we're doing with our colleague Anna Moss as well, who works with us at the Family Systems Practice, and Anna's doing a lot of the presentation. Yeah. I'll be interviewing Craig and presenting a few ideas, but our key focus is burnout can be avoided if you look at the interpersonal patterns you're in, rather than just take an individual approach to time out, stress management, caring for yourself better. As even though that's all helpful, we're really going to be bringing to the people at the workshop, look at these patterns that happen outside of your awareness and ask yourself, can you recognize your part in any of them? And how is it draining you of energy and engagement from ministry? And how might it also be draining the engagement and flourishing of your colleagues in ministry.
Mm. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. It's been
terrific.
Yeah, pleasure.
My guests on The Pastor's Heart today have been Jenny Brown, of course, the Executive Director of the Family Systems Institute and the Director of the Family Systems Practice in Sydney, and Craig Foster. And Craig's on the team at Norwest, but also working a day a week with Jenny. Mm-hmm. You've been with The Pastor's Heart, and we'll look forward to catching up with you at the same time next week. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.